Érettségi vizsga angol nyelvből. Hallott szöveg értése középszint.
Welcome to the listening component of the Matura examination. The listening material and the instructions are recorded on the CD, and the tasks and instructions are printed in your test booklet. There will be three tasks, and every recording will be played twice. The tasks will begin with some music, and then you will hear, and you can also read, the instructions to the task. This will be followed by a silent period on the CD in order to give you some time to look at the task in your test booklet before hearing the text. Then we will play the recording in one piece. After another short silent period, we will play the recording for the second time, but now in shorter sections and with breaks between the sections in order to give you enough time to write down your answers. Please note that the first item in each task, marked with a tick, is always an example. The whole test is about 30 minutes long. Good luck!
Listen.
Task 1. In this section, you will hear an interview with Leona Lewis, who won the third series of The X Factor in the UK in 2006. Your task is to complete the sentences with the exact word you hear in the text. Write one word in each gap. First, you will have some time to look at the task. And then we will play the whole recording in one piece. Then, after a short pause, you will hear the recording again. But this time we will play the text in shorter sections to give you enough time to write down your answers. Start studying the task in your test booklet now. Now listen to the recording.
You walked with me, footprints in the sand, and helped me understand where I'm going. You walked with me when I was all alone with so.
Hello everybody and welcome to the programme. Today we are very lucky to have with us Leona Lewis.
Hello and thank you for having me.
Where did you grow up?
East London.
Were you a good student?
I liked school. I went to a performing arts school, so I can really use what I learnt there now.
Did you have an after-school job?
I worked as a shop assistant in a Gap shop. I was a waitress at Pizza Hut, and I also worked as a receptionist.
What was your style when you were 17? What is it like now?
I'd wear baggy trousers and stuff. Now it's a bit more feminine and girly.
What is the craziest thing you ever did to get a guy to notice you?
I was quite shy. I still am. So I would never have done anything real crazy. I would have liked him from afar, I guess, and got one of my friends to tell him or something.
What were your hobbies back then, and what are they now?
I love horseback riding. I still do it. I've kind of stuck to the same things, swimming and riding horses.
What was your high school boyfriend like? What is your boyfriend like now?
He's been the same. I've known my boyfriend since I was 10. We grew up together and were good friends. We started dating when we were 17.
What did you used to do for fun? And how do you relax now?
Back then, I hung out around my friends' houses. And now I kind of go out more. But I still go around to my friends' houses and we'll go out to a club or something.
Who was your idol in music?
I was 17 when I discovered Eve Cassidy. I still love her.
What advice did your parents give you when you were 17?
My parents have always done what they've loved, and they've had many different careers. They always said to me, "Don't limit yourself to one thing. Whatever you love, just go for it." And I did just love singing. They tell me the same thing now.
Thank you very much, Leona.
Now listen to the recording again. Remember that this time we will play the recording in shorter sections.
You walked with me, footprints in the sand, and help me understand where I'm going. You walked with me when I was all alone with so much.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the programme. Today, we are very lucky to have with us Leona Lewis.
Hello, and thank you for having me.
Where did you grow up?
East London.
Were you a good student?
I liked school. I went to a performing arts school, so I can really use what I learnt there now.
Did you have an after-school job?
I worked as a shop assistant in a Gap shop. I was a waitress at Pizza Hut, and I also worked as a receptionist.
What was your style when you were 17? What is it like now?
I'd wear baggy trousers and stuff. Now it's a bit more feminine and girly.
What is the craziest thing you ever did to get a guy to notice you?
I was quite shy. I still am. So I would never have done anything real crazy. I would have liked him from afar, I guess, and got one of my friends to tell him or something.
What were your hobbies back then, and what are they now?
I love horseback riding. I still do it. I've kind of stuck to the same things, swimming and riding horses.
What was your high school boyfriend like? What is your boyfriend like now?
He's been the same. I've known my boyfriend since I was 10. We grew up together and were good friends. We started dating when we were 17.
What did you used to do for fun? And how do you relax now?
Back then, I hung out around my friends' houses. And now I kind of go out more. But I still go around to my friends' houses and we'll go out to a club or something.
Who was your idol in music?
I was 17 when I discovered Eve Cassidy. I still love her.
What advice did your parents give you when you were 17?
My parents have always done what they've loved, and they've had many different careers. They always said to me, "Don't limit yourself to one thing. Whatever you love, just go for it." And I did just love singing. They tell me the same thing now.
Thank you very much, Leona.
is the end of task one. Task two. In this section, you will hear a report about dishonest online companies in the United States. Your task is to find one word in each of the following sentences which doesn't make sense in the context of the recording. First, cross it out, and then write the correct one on the line after the sentence. First, you will have some time to look at the task, and then we will play the whole recording in one piece. Then, after a short pause, you will hear the recording again, but this time we will play the text in shorter sections to give you enough time to write down your answers. Start studying the task in your test booklet now. Now listen to the recording.
One day, Richard Brody got an email from a company in New York. The company had good news for Mr. Brody. "Congratulations," the letter said. "You are the winner of a mini electronic piano. Please send us $10 for shipping, and we will mail the piano to you." A description of the piano was in the letter. Mr. Brody read the description very carefully and decided to mail the company $10 for the piano. 2 months later, Mr. Brody received a box in the mail. It was his piano. He opened the box and found pieces of newspaper. He reached through the newspapers and reached and reached. Finally, he felt something small and hard. He pulled out his piano. The piano was made of plastic, and it was only 5 inches by 2 inches. It had 13 tiny buttons. When Mr. Brody pushed the buttons, the piano made a beeping sound. The piano cost $1.99 in most stores. The company that sent Mr. Brody the piano was dishonest. Dishonest companies often do business by mail. They are very clever. They send letters and tell people they have won something. They also trick people with their advertising. One company sold solar-powered clothes dryers through the mail. The clothes dryers were cheap, so a lot of people ordered them. When the people received their clothes dryers, they were disappointed and angry. The solar-powered clothes dryer was a string and a clothespin. Another company sold necklaces of faux pearls. The necklaces were cheap, so a lot of people ordered them. Those people, too, were disappointed and angry when they received their necklaces. The pearls were made of white plastic. The people didn't know that in French, faux means not real. People ordered faux pearls, and they got faux pearls, pearls that are not real. Every year, people in the U.S. send over $900 million to dishonest companies. The United States Postal Service tries to stop the dishonest companies who do business by mail. 500 employees at the Postal Service have only one job, stopping the dishonest companies. The Postal Service employees give this advice. If a company's prices are very, very low, watch out. Don't order a diamond for $5.99. And if you win a mini electronic piano, don't send the company $10.
Now listen to the recording again. Remember that this time we will play the recording in shorter sections.
One day, Richard Brody got an email from a company in New York. The company had good news for Mr. Brody. "Congratulations," the letter said. "You are the winner of a mini electronic piano. Please send us $10 for shipping, and we will mail the piano to you." A description of the piano was in the letter. Mr. Brody read the description very carefully and decided to mail the company $10 for the piano. 2 months later, Mr. Brody received a box in the mail. It was his piano. He opened the box and found pieces of newspaper. He reached through the newspapers and reached and reached. Finally, he felt something small and hard. He pulled out his piano. The piano was made of plastic, and it was only 5 inches by 2 inches. It had 13 tiny buttons. When Mr. Brody pushed the buttons, the piano made a beeping sound. The piano cost $1.99 in most stores. The company that sent Mr. Brody the piano was dishonest. Dishonest companies often do business by mail. They are very clever. They send letters and tell people they have won something. They also trick people with their advertising. One company sold solar-powered clothes dryers through the mail. The clothes dryers were cheap, so a lot of people ordered them. When the people received their clothes dryers, they were disappointed and angry. The solar-powered clothes dryer was a string and a clothespin. Another company sold necklaces of faux pearls. The necklaces were cheap, so a lot of people ordered them. Those people, too, were disappointed and angry when they received their necklaces. The pearls were made of white plastic. The people didn't know that in French, faux means not real. People ordered faux pearls, and they got faux pearls, pearls that are not real. Every year, people in the U.S. send over $900 million to dishonest companies. The United States Postal Service tries to stop the dishonest companies who do business by mail. 500 employees at the Postal Service have only one job, stopping the dishonest companies. The Postal Service employees give this advice. If a company's prices are very, very low, watch out. Don't order a diamond for $5.99. And if you win a mini electronic piano, don't send the company $10.
That is the end of Task 2. Task 3. In this section, you are going to hear some information about how Americans celebrate the New Year. Your task is to circle the letter or letters of the correct answer or answers in the boxes on the right. Please note that in this task, both answers may be correct. However, there is always at least one correct answer. This means you will have to circle one or two letters. First, you will have some time to look at the task, and then we will play the whole recording in one piece. Then you will hear the recording again, but this time we will play the text in shorter sections to give you enough time to write down your answers. Start studying the task in your test booklet now. Now listen to the recording.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0.
Happy New Year!
The beginning of the new year has been welcomed on different dates throughout history. Ways of celebrating differ as well, according to the customs and religions of the world. People in Muslim societies, for example, celebrate the new year by wearing new clothes. Southeast Asians release birds and turtles to assure themselves good luck in the 12 months ahead. Jewish people consider the day holy and hold a religious ceremony at a meal with special foods. Hindus of India leave holy things on a table next to their beds so they can see beautiful objects at the start of the new year. Japanese prepare rice cakes at a social event in the week before the new year. Whatever the custom, most people feel the same sentiment. With the new year, we can expect a new life. We wish each other good luck and promise ourselves to do better in the following year. In the United States, the legal holiday is January 1st, but Americans begin celebrating on December 31st. Sometimes people have masquerade balls where guests dress up in costumes and cover their faces with masks. According to an old tradition, guests unmask at midnight. At New Year's Eve parties across the United States on December 31st, many guests watch television as part of the festivities. Most of the television channels show Times Square in the heart of New York City. At 1 minute before midnight, a lighted ball drops slowly from the top to the bottom of a pole on one of the buildings. People count down at the same time as the ball drops. When it reaches the bottom, the New Year sign is lighted. People hug and kiss and wish each other Happy New Year. On January 1st, Americans visit friends, relatives, and neighbors. There is plenty to eat and drink when you just drop by to wish your loved ones and friends the best for the year ahead. In most cultures, people promise to better themselves in the following year. Americans have inherited the tradition and even write down their New Year's resolutions. Whatever the resolution, Most of them are broken and forgotten by February. On the stroke of midnight, thrill in the air, all over the world from Big Ben to Times Square. Happy New Year! Happy New Year! Happy New Year!
Now listen to the recording again. Remember that this time we will play the recording in shorter sections.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0.
The beginning of the new year has been welcomed on different dates throughout history. Ways of celebrating differ as well, according to the customs and religions of the world. People in Muslim societies, for example, celebrate the new year by wearing new clothes. Southeast Asians release birds and turtles to assure themselves good luck in the 12 months ahead. Jewish people consider the day holy and hold a religious ceremony at a meal with special foods. Hindus of India leave holy things on a table next to their beds so they can see beautiful objects at the start of the new year. Japanese prepare rice cakes at a social event in the week before the new year. Whatever the custom, most people feel the same sentiment. With the new year, we can expect a new life. We wish each other good luck and promise ourselves to do better in the following year. In the United States, the legal holiday is January 1st, but Americans begin celebrating on December 31st. Sometimes people have masquerade balls where guests dress up in costumes and cover their faces with masks. According to an old tradition, guests unmask at midnight. At New Year's Eve parties across the United States on December 31st, many guests watch television as part of the festivities. Most of the television channels show Times Square in the heart of New York City. At 1 minute before midnight, a lighted ball drops slowly from the top to the bottom of a pole on one of the buildings. People count down at the same time as the ball drops. When it reaches the bottom, the New Year's sign is lighted. People hug and kiss and wish each other Happy New Year. On January 1st, Americans visit friends, relatives, and neighbors. There is plenty to eat and drink when you just drop by to wish your loved ones and friends the best for the year ahead. In most cultures, people promise to better themselves in the following year. Americans have inherited the tradition and even write down their New Year's resolutions. Whatever the resolution, most of them are broken and forgotten by February. On the stroke of midnight, thrill in the air, all over the world from Big Ben to Times Square. Happy New Year! Happy New Year! Happy New Year!
Listen.
That is the end of Task 3, and also the end of the listening test.